Just amen. Amen. So Lord, we just thank you, God. We thank you for your word today. We thank you that it always sets out and accomplishes that which you've set it out to do, God. I pray over everyone here, God, that their hearts would be prepared to just receive what it is you prepared for them today, God. So we thank you for it. We ask you to just bless each one richly as they receive the word today, God. And we thank you for its provision in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you guys want to get a head start, we will be starting at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. Dill, you can throw that up there while we get started. So we're on a journey about transformation, and we started this journey last week in dealing with our minds, right? Do we remember? And we quoted that wonderful quote about how what our thoughts translate in step, one thing to another, to another, to another, to another, that ends up creating pretty much who we are. So in that inception of our thoughts, the enemy wants to take those thoughts and he wants to instill other thoughts, because that will set on a course, a derailing of our entire futures. And we've seen it. Not only did it start in the garden, but it continues to happen every step of our lives. And so there's a battle that needs to be won in our minds. Do we understand that? Right? And we talked about how we accomplished that, and hopefully you guys have done that. So now we're going to go into phase two of this transformation. And phase two is going to be dealing with the body. Now, when we talk about the body, we can get a conversation going where we talk about the body of Christ, right? And who's part of the body of who's part of the body of Christ? We are, right? We all are the body. Right? It was a song, right? Casting Crowns? We are the body? Yeah. Okay. Right? Now, the other concept that you hear when we talk about the body is talking about our flesh. Right? Our physical makeup. Who we are. And what we'll be focusing on today is that. We're going to be talking about this filthy, disgusting bag of skin that we all have to deal with until we get glorified bodies. Yeah, somebody said woohoo. It's better be. That's what I'm waiting for that, right? Amen? Pastor gets a whole set of hair when he gets his glorified body. Long, long, luscious locks. So, I want to get clarity here real quick, because when we talk about this and we talk about our physical body and our makeup and we're talking about transformation, I want us to clearly understand we're not talking like Face Off, okay? I mean, you saw Face Off with Nick Cage and John Travolta, you know? Yeah, you know, we're just going to start like literally changing who you are. No, we're not talking about that, obviously. But what the Bible describes as transformation is a bit different, okay? It's not that kind of physical deformative transformation. We're talking about something that is actually comes out or protrudes from our bodies. And that's really what we're going to be focusing on. So in Galatians, right, 6 verses 7 and 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Right? "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap" what? "Corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap." Seems like a no-brainer to me, right? Who wants corruption? No? Nobody? Nobody wants corruption? You sure? I don't know. I mean, that seems like it could potentially be a really good deal in some shape or form. I don't know. Maybe if we're like talking to a bunch of lawyers or something. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. All right. Sowing and reaping, all right, is a principle, right? You understand what a principle is, right? And this is a principle, right? And it's a very simple principle, but it's also very complex. Because if you understand how principles work, you can take them in any form or fashion, and it always equates the same. Does that make sense? It's like an equation, right? Mathematic man, right? Equation means one side equals the other, but if you flip them, it's still the same, right? It doesn't change, right? If you flip them, it always works out the same way. So in this principle we're talking about here about sowing and reaping, the reality of what this means is that like kind will produce what? Like kind, right? It's a very simple principle. here's the interesting fact. When you're reading through this, you get an understanding of what each one or what each side of this equals, right? So if you sow to your flesh, you reap corruption. So what that really means is that things of the flesh will equal corruption, right? Think of the flesh as the seed. You're sowing the seed of your flesh. You return that tree that you planted will only produce corruption. However, if you sow the seeds of the Spirit, you get what? Eternal life, everlasting life. All right? So here's where this gets really, really good. How many people were a part of the study the first time, the wholesome study? Who was a part of the wholesome study the first round we went? All you wonderful people, I love you guys. You guys now know one of my greatest assets, my weapon of choice, is Webster's 1828 dictionary. Because man, oh man, that man was on fire for God. And he wrote some serious definitions that we have just destroyed. As a society as a whole, we have destroyed these definitions. But the definition for corruption, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, states as such, corruption is depravity or depravity, wickedness, perversion or deterioration of moral principles, loss of purity or integrity. I'm going to repeat that so you all get this. Corruption is depravity, wickedness, perversion or deterioration of moral principles, loss of purity or integrity. Here's where this gets good. Corruption deteriorates the original integrity of God's perfect creation. And what happens? What are we born into? We're born into flesh. See, what he established in the very beginning, God created was perfect. The enemy tore down that perfect creation through a lie and a deceit to then create that original sin that is now perpetuated over mankind to keep us in a state of corruption. He's single-handedly tried to tear down what God created was perfect and break it down. Now, here's where this gets even better, right? The continuation of sowing to the flesh compounds that corruption. Think of it this way. Is corruption absolute? No. Corruption continues to just build on itself. It doesn't have an exhaustible end. It's almost infinite. So the reality of what was created at that moment is now something that mankind has dealt with for ever. And some have fallen victim into corruption. Some have been set free from corruption. How many people have been set free from corruption? Amen. That does not mean that the battle ends. It just means how you fight changes or transforms. Romans 8 verses 5 through 9, excuse me, says this: for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. This goes right back to what we talked about last week. So here's a neat little thought now, right? We talked about the mind and we talked about how those thoughts come into your mind. And now, okay, well, the enemy just kind of just goes, here, think about this. Guess what? His access to go, here, think about this, has a lot to do with your flesh and how you live according to it. Because if you're not living according to the flesh, guess what kind of thoughts you won't have? You won't have thoughts that the enemy can even give you, because they'll be like bouncing off of your head. They'll just doink and fall to the ground. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity towards God, for it is not subjected to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This was what the enemy was intending to do. That's what was created in the garden. If you were curious about what happened when Adam and Eve were standing there and bit into that fruit, disobeyed God and his command, All that transpired was right there. Right in that scripture. That's what happened. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. This seems very simple. I mean, this is pretty much Bible 101. If you're a new believer and you don't know what you believe, it's very simple. How do you have the Spirit of God dwell within you? Well, you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then the Spirit of God can come and dwell in you. That makes you his. You are now his. If you're not his, then you don't have his Spirit, which means you are floating in a very dangerous pool because you are relying on this to save you. You're relying on the works of corruption, deceits, lies, and enmity towards God to get you into heaven. How many people think that's going to work? Can you go back one, Dylan? Just real quick. So then those who are in the flesh cannot what? You can't please God if you're in the flesh. So how's that going to get you in his good graces? It won't. It just won't. Period. End of discussion. So that means not by works. You're not going to get in by how much you do for God. Because as much as you're trying to do for God in your flesh, it's built out of corruption. It's built from the foundation of a lie. A principle that you can't fight your way out of. Okay? So the corruption of the flesh creates or affects our thinking, right? This mentality then generates enmity towards God, because then what our minds are thinking and focusing on, we're not thinking and focusing on the things of God. Our flesh is then no longer practicing the things of God, and we are creating an area or a hemisphere around us that is built around everything that is distasteful to God. And then we go back to that other part, right? Those that do not have the Spirit of Christ in them, they're surrendered to the corruption of the flesh, right? Because there is no Spirit within them to change them. See, we are changed from the inside out. That is the only way this works. It does not work from the outside. Prime example. Right? You can take somebody and you can dress them up real nice. You can take them to church. But if they're a terrible person on the inside, it doesn't matter how nice you dress them up. They're still going to be distasteful and displeasing. It's just a fact. Something has to change inside of you. All right, now here's the other thing. This is also good for us as ones having his Spirit, in the notation that no matter how bad it might seem around you, you always have hope. Because let's take it in the other side of this, right? That final, can you go back real quick, Dill? The very beginning? Right, because it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So if we are now operating in that Spirit that dwells within me, and we're sowing into that, and we're pouring into that, it might seem grim and drab and dreary all around you, and things may not be working out according to your liking. How many people can say amen to that? How many? Yeah, stuff sucks sometimes, right? That's because you're living in a world filled with darkness. But there's still hope. Because God's in control. Because you're surrendered to his Spirit. You're submitted to his change and his protocol in your life. And see, it just doesn't make sense right now. You're not quite clear on the understanding of where you are now to where you're going to be. But that's not for you to worry about. That's for him to worry about. It's called surrender. Surrender means you don't have control. Amen? It's hard to get there. The original sin that plagues mankind was a corruption that continues to be perpetuated to this day. It was an insidious plot to rob God of his most precious treasure, which is us. Amen. Our flesh is the one area that continues to pull against our pursuit of godliness. The reason for this is due to the process of redemption. God did not make us flawed, but we just aren't clean. Serious. We're not flawed. He didn't make us terrible. He didn't make us wrong. But because of how things have transpired, we are just no longer clean. It's really simple. The redemptive transformation process is no different than that of being covered head to toe in mud. Did you ever hear of the Tough Mudder? Did anybody hear this? It's like a race of some sort. I can't. And it's literally, there's like, it's one half of the leg of the race is literally just crossing a river of mud. Just a river, just imagine, like you're waist deep in a river of mud. You come out, you're no longer anything recognizable. You could be wearing the most fluorescent colors in the world. You are now brown. Completely. Head to toe brown. I mean, people like just swim in it. And it's like, I don't sign me up, please. I understand there's probably some really good clean properties that, you know, people, women can tell me about mud and all that stuff. I know my wife, she likes to put the green mud on her face. I don't like green mud. Can't trust green mud. I haven't seen green mud in real life, so I don't know what green mud's supposed to be. But it is not something I am fully embracing and being covered in mud. But just imagine those individuals, okay, that are covered completely in mud. And then you get the bath of a century. Like, you live the master of rings around the tub, okay? Like, it's just like that supremely cleaning of your entire body, head to toe. That's what God's redemptive process does for you. Every one of you. Amen? Like, that's what this is really about, right? But it takes us understanding this transformation process. We have to come to agree that we can't have that if we're still in the mud. Does that make sense? Is that clicking? Like, you can't get the bath of a century if you're still standing in the river in the mud. Like, God's like saying, okay, come on, get out of the mud, come get in this really good bath. And you're like, but I like the mud. All right, well then you stay in the mud. Like, it's just where you are. And that's okay. But to live there and to build your life there and to try to make that, we were singing, you know, putting your feet planted on the rock of Jesus and everything around me is sinking sand. You know, think about that. You can't plant your feet in a river of mud. You're just going to fall right over. So we got to transform from understanding how things operate in the flesh into learning how to change or transform into a spirit-filled or spirit body. Okay? Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Guess what? I don't care what you try to preach to me. I will fight you with just one scripture. There is a side you have to choose. You cannot live a life that is, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I like to do this on the side. To me, you made your choice. Because guess what weighs out? Guess what weighs out? Your claims to a faith don't mean anything if your life doesn't line up with it. How can I say that? Well, I'll go back to my original concept of being in a pool of mud. Can you go around being covered head to toe in mud telling everybody you're clean? Tell me how that works. Nobody's going to believe you. No matter how much you believe you're clean, physical properties and realities tell everybody around you contrary. That's why you can't go around saying, oh, well, I got saved when I was 23, but, you know, I'm good. I'm going to get into heaven because I accepted Jesus, Lord and Savior, even though I'm a prostitute. Excuse me, what? Well, yeah, God forgives me. God doesn't forgive prostitution if you still practice it. I'm just sorry. It's true. Because what you have to understand and what we're talking about is what you're sowing. So go back to that principle. If you're a prostitute and you're sowing into that, is that sowing into the spirit? No. So then guess what that means? You're sowing into corruption. And that corruption is going to pull down and destroy what God has made perfect. So what you think you have in you, you don't. You're still sowing to the flesh. There is a war, and it's clearly stated, right there, spirit against flesh. There is a constant war, one against the other. The two cannot coexist. Something has to transform. And now we get to this wonderful line, and I love this line, because people always think that this is like, ooh, genie in a bottle syndrome, right? They see that wish word, they go, oh, really? Really? Whatever I wish for? Come on, Jesus in a bottle. Woohoo! I love Jesus in a bottle. Right? Think about it. No, I'm serious. Cause, you know, you get that. You talk to people and they hear stuff and then they immediately cling to that, like one word. And they forget all the other stuff. And they're like, we wish? What? Wish? Well, what do we wish to do? I'll clarify. Believe it or not, what that scripture is entirely telling you is it's the emphasis on the desire of the believer to please God. See, this scripture is actually talking to believers. It's not talking to non-believers. It's talking to people who know God. So you know God. You're following God. The things you wish to do are to please God, right? Because we talked about that just a few seconds ago. Pleasing God. What he's describing here are the physical resistances or the things that are coming against you physically that are keeping you from doing it. That's the battle that's being waged over your life every single day. Your flesh is at war with the spirit dwelling within you because your flesh is telling you, this is okay, you can do this. And the spirit's going, put it down! How many people have had that? How many people have had that? That moment where you're just like, you're not thinking clearly. You're doing something just out of maybe bad habit form, whatever. And you're going there and you're entertaining something. And you just hear this resounding, put it down. You're like, whoa, okay. Yeah, no, I'm not supposed to be touching that. Got it, God. You got it. All right. Woo. He doesn't tell you that. That's how he tells it me. He uses daddy voice on me. So what is going on with us when that happens? Well, here's what happens. I'll give you a little spectrum, right? When you're subjected to the flesh, you're actually utilizing the tools of the flesh. You're relying on things that you trust because you've been built to trust them. Trust what you touch. Trust what you see. Trust what you hear. That's real. No, it's not. It's a lie. It's a lie. What you touch, what you see, what you hear can deceive you. Hear me, church, it deceives you. It's not real. It's not what we're built for, right? When we are subjected to the Spirit, it's different. You can't rely on what you see, what you hear, and what you touch. Because those things don't make sense to those sensories. The things of the Spirit, try and touch them. But watch when it happens. See what the Spirit of God does. You could try to physically make it happen all day long. It won't work. But the second you submit to the Spirit of God and let Him do it, mountains crumble. You could sit there with a chisel and a hammer all day long trying to break California out into the ocean. It's going to take a long time. It might happen. Or you can let God just go, there it goes, out to sea. It's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. Nothing we can do about it. It's not their fault. Maybe it is. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 2:9-12 says this. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love them. You don't see it. You can't hear it. You can't touch it. You can't describe it. Does that mean that God didn't? No. Because God is. God has. God has created. God has done. He has done it all. There's nothing that he has not set and accomplished. But God has revealed them to us through his... For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Whew. Let me tell you. The key word to this entire scripture is right there. No. How many times have you like, I know this is the right answer. I mean, like Jeopardy. Come on. Yes, I know the answer is this. The answer is... Next question. Yep, nope, the answer is this. Wrong. You find out how very little you know when you watch Jeopardy. I'm just saying. Like, you think you know stuff, and you go to watch Jeopardy, and you're like, I think I'm challenged. This kind of knowing, though, the word know there is not understanding, right? But it's actually intimately having a deeper attraction to the subject matter at hand. It's intimately knowing. And when you intimately know something, you know it when you don't have to be in front of it. You know it from a distance. You know it when it's miles and miles away. You know it when it's up above. You know it intimately. And this is what we're talking about. This is the embodiment of the fruit that is produced by sowing the seeds of the Spirit. That's what you receive. You receive an intimacy of knowing who God is, what he has given to you. How many people can honestly describe the things that God has done? Like, in your life, can describe them thoroughly, right? Isn't it interesting when you're describing, like you're talking to somebody and you're like, oh man, you won't believe what God did. And you can etch out so many details of his hand moving and pushing this aside and putting this in its place and taking care of that thing that was down the road like 15 miles that you didn't even know. There was a story, I think the worship team was going to like some conference, right? You guys were like heading out to some conference and you guys were like uber late. Because of just stuff. Not like they intended to, but they were just not getting off when they intended to. And they made it like onto this one road and there was this huge accident. I mean, bad. Like very, 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 very bad accident. And God protected them by keeping them from being able to leave when they wanted to leave. Only for the simple purpose of, your time's not over yet. You have more to accomplish. There's more that you have to do. Had you left when you had left, you would have been that car. That'll shock you to your core. Because how many people hate being late? I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I can't stand it. But I can't tell you the countless times that for whatever reason, things have happened, and I didn't get to make it where I needed to go on time. But I always get to see how the hand of God protected me, because he makes sure I see it. Every single time. Because I'm a complainer. I'll admit that. That's my AA thing. I'll go to the AA meetings, yes. My name is Gary Podozic, and I'm a complainer. I complain. God's working on me. I'm not a finished product. Just deal with me, okay? It's part of my makeup. I have to deal with it. That's my flesh, okay? But when I complain, God just humbles me because he shows me He shows me what he did. He shows me how he kept me safe. He shows me how he protected me. Galatians 5, 22 through 25 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. When we talk about this transformation of our body, what we're talking about is how our walk within the Spirit of God is an external feature of who we are. Who God is inside is only revealed how? How is he revealed? By our walk. How we walk in this life, physically presenting before every single person that we come in contact with, is who he is in us, or so it should be. That's the gauge. When we talk about the transformation of our body, it's not the physical face-off type transformation, although I have seen in certain people where God has physically transformed their body. Like people that have come to the Lord and they're disabled and disfigured. And God has made them whole. That's a physical transformation. Is God capable? Absolutely God's capable. God's done physical transformation in people's lives all over the world. All over. That's not impossible. But that's not the real understanding of what we're talking about. The transformation we're really talking about is an outward manifestation of who is inside of you. If you are entertaining the flesh and you're sowing to the flesh, people will see you. They will see you. Because guess what? Their eyes are keen and tuned to seeing. They're keen and tuned to seeing their flesh. They're used to the world's way of running. They're used to their physical eyes, their physical hands, their hearing. They listen and hear what you say, your speech, how you dress, what you present, and how you represent. They look at those things and they go, well, you're no different than me. That's a bad thing. Because this world is not on fire for God. This world is entertaining even darker and darker and darker things as each every day passes. I don't want to be like the world because that means I'm entertaining the flesh, which means I'm sowing seeds of corruption, which I am hurting the Spirit of God who dwells within me and hindering him from being who he set me up to be and having the things that I wish, not Jesus in a bottle wish, but being pleasing to God. It's a huge difference. So you have to be transformed. You have to be transformed. You can't sit in the middle. Be either hot or cold. But if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. That is why he addresses it that way. Because there is a clear distinguishing difference between the flesh and the spirit. You can't have both. That's why you're distasteful. Because you are actually tarnishing what is perfect and good by putting a pig skin over it and saying, no, it's good. God goes, no, it's not. It's a fraud. Do you want to be a fraud? I don't. So I need to be transformed. And so do we. All of us do. Here's the reason why, church. Whether you like it or not, if you've come in to salvation through Jesus Christ, you are his. By being his, you are a son. You are an heir. As a son and an heir, you're an heir to what? You're an heir to his kingdom. Therefore, you are an ambassador of his kingdom. As an ambassador, right? You have a responsibility. If you are an ambassador of the United States of America in this world, you are responsible for representing everything that United States stands for. You represent the president of the United States. You represent our culture. You represent everything that we stand for. Your appearance matters. How you speak matters. How you present yourself to dignitaries and all other people matters. And the difference between you representing well and representing poorly can put millions of lives at stake. And that's just a physical example of our nation representing ambassadors. There's no difference between that and us and the kingdom of God. How we represent the kingdom of God, millions of lives are on stake for it. How we represent as ambassadors of God, our King, manifesting out of our physical bodies, overcoming this bucket of worms and representing who He is, overcomes all those issues of people's lives. There's a standard that is expected of us to be met. When we get it and we understand that we represent God as an ambassador and we represent everything He stands for, and we're expecting people to embrace our God as King, all the more reason our outward manifestation of who we are and who we say we claim to be lines up. So that means we have to be changed. It's not an easy process. I'll tell you straight up. Sometimes you have to change every habit in your life. All those things that you've set up, those thoughts, those mind translations in your head that have formed bad habits have to be retraced back, repented of, and reestablished on His word so that you can accept His word as truth over the lies that the enemy has put in your life from the very beginning and be rebuilt up. And when you understand that process, it's a redeeming process. And thank God He's a redeemer. Amen. Thank God, because He is redeeming every area of your life, every area. There's no area that is uncharted, no area that He has not set up for success. But it does require us to come to grips with our truth. And that truth is, you can't hold on to the old you and continue to move on as a representative of the King. You can't. You have to be transformed. Because who you represent is way more important. And believe me, the consequences are far more dire if you lay the name of Christ but you don't represent well. Because you're held to it. You're held to it. And it's dire if you don't stand up and represent. So the challenge today, church, is this. What has the Spirit of God been telling you to put to death? What battle of the flesh has been warring in you? And if it is, repent. Repentance is easy. What's repentance, Pastor? You're changing your mentality and thinking on the things that you thought of and focusing on God and what He says and what He tells you. It's 180 turn away from everything that you thought was right and moving towards God. Repent and move on, sowing into the Spirit so that you reap that fruit. Because what's more important in your life, what you need in your life, is the fruit of the Spirit. Can you put that back up, Dylan? Because I don't know about you, but who doesn't need love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? You know why you need them? Because the world needs it. Because the world needs it, and you are being built up to be a vessel stored up with those things so that you can be poured out as an offering to all those who need it. no different than what he did on the cross for you. He was our sacrifice. He was poured out as an offering so that we would have eternal life, but not just eternal life, but so that we could replicate everything he did for all those who don't know. That right there is what we need to accomplish those things that God has set up for us so that we can be that most excellent ambassador that he has called us to be. So if there's something in your life that is keeping you and holding you back, you can come up, team. If there's something that is keeping you and holding you from being able to just fully embrace his spirit, whether it's just your mentality, your thought life is impure, don't leave today. Don't leave today without having our team pray for you through repentance, getting yourself cleaned up, so that you can accomplish the things that God has set up for you. If you're in a battle and you're struggling, don't leave today without coming and having us pray for you so that you can have victory. Because God did not set you up so that you would be defeated. God set you up so that you would be victorious. And just because something's happening in your life doesn't mean that it's going to clean up tomorrow. It's going to be done in his timing, but there's a reason for it. And we have to be submitted to that. But whatever you do today, know that we are responsible. Say, I am responsible. I am responsible to go through this transformation. Come on. I'm responsible to go through this transformation. You are responsible, church. God has done everything. But if you're still holding on to your flesh, that's not his problem. That's your problem. You have to let it go. You have to submit to his spirit and his transformation process in your life, which is simply just complete redemption over every area of your walk so that you can be free to do exactly what he set you up to do. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you that you have redeemed us, God, that you are our Redeemer, God. And there is nothing that can separate us from you. Not one thing, not one thought, not one habit, not one thing that we have done in our life that is so terrible and heinous that you have not forgiven, God. So let us today leave here completely clean, completely redeemed, God, so that we can start embracing your spirit and who you are inside us, God, to take over every area of our life, God, take over every thought, take over every piece of my existence, God, so that I bring nothing but glory to you, God. Let us all come to that understanding, knowing who you are so deeply and intimately, God, that we want nothing more than to bring you honor and glory. We kneel before you today, God, in full repentance, God, of everything we may have done, anything that we may have brought up, thought of, and we ask, Lord, that you would just forgive us, God. Clean us up, God, and set your people loose on this world of darkness. In Jesus' name. Amen.